It's 10 o'clock.
Good morning, and welcome to Trinity Lutheran Church in Alamosa. We're glad you tuned in today. Trinity Lutheran is located at 52 El Rio Drive in Alamosa, Colorado. Pastor Jason Cody and the congregation at Trinity Lutheran welcome you to join them every Sunday, in person or right here on KSPK. And now, let's take you live to this morning's worship service with Pastor Jason Cody.
He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Good morning and welcome to Trinity Lutheran Church. Thanks for joining us here in person, or I'm told those listening on the radio right now. This morning we'll be continuing our Easter celebration with a gospel text from John on the road to, from Luke on the road to Emmaus. And we'll start our worship by standing to sing hymn number 47, 474, Alleluia, Jesus is Risen. On the last verse. We begin with the name spoken over each of us in our baptism. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. I said I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I announce the grace of God unto all of you, and in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, all our sins are forgiven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Christ is risen from the dead. God the Father has crowned him with glory and honor. He has given him dominion over the works of his hands. He has put all things under his feet. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. To God on high. Be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Let us pray. O God, through the humiliation of your Son, you raised up the fallen world. Grant to your faithful people, rescued from the peril of everlasting death, perpetual gladness and eternal joys. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our first reading on this, the third Sunday in Easter, is from the second chapter of Acts. Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them. Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" And Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children, and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself." And with many other words, he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, "Save yourselves from this crooked generation." So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We speak the psalm responsively. "I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my pleas for mercy. Because he inclined his ear to me, therefore I will call on him as long as I live. The snares of death encompassed me. The pangs of Sheol laid hold on me. I suffered distress and anguish. There I called on the name of the Lord. O Lord, I pray, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord, and righteous our God is merciful. The Lord preserves the simple. When I was brought low, he saved me. Return, O my soul, to your rest, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. For you have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believed even when I spoke. I am greatly afflicted. I said in my alarm, all mankind are liars. What shall I render to the Lord for his benefit to me? I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Our epistle reading is from the first chapter of 1 Peter. "If you call on him as Father, who judges impartially, according to each one's deeds, conduct yourselves with fear throughout the time of your exile, knowing that you are ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. He was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in the last times for your sake, who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart, since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers, and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And this word is the good news that was preached to you. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God." You're invited to stand as you are able. The Holy Gospel, according to St. Luke, the 24th chapter. Glory be to thee, O Lord. That very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What is this conversation that you are holding with each other as you walk?" And they stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, named Cleopas, answered, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" And he said to them, "What things?" And they said to him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things happened. Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning. And when they did not find his body, they came back, saying that they had even seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it, just as the women had said. But him they did not see. And he said to them, O foolish ones and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So they drew near to the village to which they were going. He acted as if he were going farther. But they urged him strongly, saying, Stay with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is now far spent. So he went in to stay with them. When he was at table with them, he took bread, and blessed, and broke it, and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose that same hour and returned to Jerusalem. And they found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, The Lord has risen indeed and has appeared to Simon. Then they told what had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of the bread. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise be to thee, O Christ. We confess together our Christian faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. You may be seated while we sing the hymn of the day, number 483. With high delight, let us unite.
Thank you.
sons and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. This is our text for today. That very day, as our gospel reading begins, is the day of the resurrection. The day that he is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. We know from John's gospel account that Jesus had appeared to Mary Magdalene at the tomb on that first Easter morning, and in fact, to several of the women. Last week, our annual Beat Up on Doubting St. Thomas text, we looked at Christ's appearance to the disciples in the upper room in Jerusalem, where they were hiding for fear of the Jews. Our text for today, the road to Emmaus, happens between these two events. It is still the resurrection day. Mary Magdalene has seen the risen Lord. Peter and John have seen the empty tomb. But by and large, those who have followed Christ for all or part of the last 3 years do not know that he is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. These events are happening just 1 week after the triumphal entry, where the crowds had shouted, "Hosanna! Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord." Like the crowds at Palm Sunday, Cleopas and Simon, who were walking to Emmaus, had also believed that Jesus was the promised king of the line of David, who would throw off their Roman oppression and restore the great majesty of Israel. We do not know why they were walking from Jerusalem to Emmaus, about a 2-hour walk, but they had spent the Passover in Jerusalem. They had been there during the crucifixion. And now, these followers of this dead rabbi were leaving town, heading to a small village just down the hills west of Jerusalem, about 7 miles, as the text says. As they are talking among themselves, and Jesus joins them along the road, we can tell a few things about what they had heard, what they thought, and what they knew. They had hoped that Jesus was the one to redeem Israel. They expressed this hope in the past tense. They thought this hope was dead. They knew that he had been delivered up to the chief priests and rulers, that he had been crucified, died, and was buried. They knew that the tomb was empty. They had heard from Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Salome, and Mary, the mother of James, that angels had told these women that he was alive. They had heard from Peter and John that the tomb was empty. They had not yet heard from Mary Magdalene that she had seen Jesus. With these scant facts, they are every bit the doubters, the unbelievers, that Thomas was in last week's reading. But they were the original doubters several hours before Thomas, and even after they had seen Jesus walking with them. They did not recognize the Christ. Their eyes were kept from recognizing him. But he knew them. It is when they express their skepticism of the resurrection that Christ rebukes them. "O foolish ones and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken." This rebuke of Christ is a rebuke of love. He does not follow this rebuke with, "Why am I wasting my time with you fools?" After he rebukes them, he opens the scripture to them, explaining all from Moses and all the prophets. And they still don't get it. It's not until they're sitting down at table with him, as he takes the bread and breaks it, that their eyes are opened and they recognize the risen Lord. Are we any less deserving of Christ's loving rebuke than Cleopas and Simon were? Are our eyes at times any less open than theirs were? Christ's rebuke is like that of a loving parent. Yes, he is exasperated. Yes, he wishes they could just see the good and true and beautiful. But he is not spiteful. This rebuke is not the condemnation he has for the money changers in the temple. It's more along the lines of a simple disappointment. Much like Matthew recorded Jesus a week earlier when he said, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often would I have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. O Cleopas and Simon, foolish ones and slow of heart, what is his rebuke of love for us today? Where are our eyes hidden, as were those of Cleopas and Simon on the road to Emmaus? Not with all of our reason and logic can we understand the prophecies and promises of Christ. It is only in his coming to us, in the word and the sacrament, that we can understand, with eyes fully opened by faith, the gift of the Spirit, just as Cleopas and Simon did on that first Easter evening. The walk down the hill from Jerusalem to Emmaus, that was the easy part. It was all downhill. After seeing Jesus, they were so excited, they rushed back up the hill to Jerusalem to find the 11 and to tell them about meeting Jesus, to tell them that he is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. That discussion, Cleopas and Simon telling the 11, well, minus Thomas, who wasn't in the room at the time. They're telling the 10 apostles gathered in the upper room in Jerusalem on that first Easter night about meeting Jesus on their road to Emmaus, when this same Jesus, their resurrected Lord, appeared before them in the locked room, much as he had disappeared from before them in the lodging in Emmaus. Luke does not record any of the words of Cleopas and Simon after Jesus appeared, but you have to assume they at least thought, "That's what we were trying to tell you. We are all foolish ones, slow of heart, until Jesus comes to us. We do not come to him. He comes to us." Just a couple of months after this upper room appearance, one of those 10 apostles who had heard the story of Cleopas and Simon, who had seen Jesus appear in that upper room, was Simon Peter. In our text from Acts, he's delivering the first sermon at Pentecost. And we like to focus on the Acts 2:38 part of that passage, where he says, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." And it is good and right that we hear the joyous gospel message in these words. Truly, they are words of salvation. But Peter does not stop with those words. He does not say, "Be baptized and go your way. Salvation is accomplished. Do whatever you're going to do. The work is done." I find Peter's words in verse 40 to be very interesting. "Save yourselves from this crooked generation." What exactly is he saying here? Is Peter advocating for some form of works righteousness? Most certainly not. Our works have no merit for our salvation. We cannot save ourselves from eternal damnation. But Peter's words to them are not to save themselves from eternal judgment. Only Christ can do that. And this is clear in Peter's call for repentance and baptism in the 38th verse. The words here in the 40th verse, "to save yourselves from this crooked generation," are his admonition to this group following the call for baptism. After Jesus has come to you in your baptism, as he came to the apostles in the upper room, as he came to those first converts at Pentecost in their baptism, after your eyes are opened, see the evils of this crooked world. See Satan's attacks on you through this world and turn to that same Christ who comes to you. Remember your baptism. Remember that you are saved, and follow Christ not this wicked generation. Just as Joshua gave that choice to the children of Israel 2,000 years before Peter admonished the crowd at Pentecost. In the midst of this crooked generation, where right is wrong and wrong is right, and all truth is declared to be relative, how much more does this message apply to us to save ourselves from this crooked generation? Perhaps Peter's warning is flushed out a bit in our epistle reading. Also the words of Peter: conduct yourselves with fear throughout the time of your exile. We are indeed exiles from our heavenly home, just as Israel was in exile in Egypt, in Assyria, in Babylon, in Roman captivity. Do not love the land of your exile. Accept the gifts of the Lord's bounty in this, your time of exile, and look for that call to return home. You will return home, for you were ransomed by the blood of Christ. The whole reason that Christ came to earth was for your sake, that you may believe, that through his resurrection, you may have faith and hope in your resurrection. You were dead to righteousness, lost in your sins. But God loved you so much that he left the 99. He came to find you, to send his son to pay the ransom price for you, that you may be freed, that you may be called home from this exile. Do not fall in love with the land of your exile or give yourself over to this crooked generation. We are called to love one another because our souls have been purified, because we are obedient to the truth. There's that word again, truth. On Good Friday, Pilate had asked, what is truth? And so many in our world struggle with that question today. What is truth? This is truth, that he is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. And because of his sacrifice and his resurrection, we have been born again, not of flesh, but of water and the Spirit. Not of perishable seed, but of imperishable. All flesh is like grass. Like grass, every one of us will wither and die. But the word of the Lord endures forever. And in that word, you endure forever. Not only in your flesh, but of the imperishable seed that is in you. O foolish one, slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have written. All of the promises of Scripture are yours. What if our eyes failed to see? What if our hearts failed to comprehend? Where do we fail to see Jesus as he walks along beside us? And on what count would he rebuke us as he does walk alongside us on our own road to Emmaus or wherever it is that we are going? Do we fail to recognize that our debt, no matter how much it weighs on our hearts, is truly and completely forgiven? So forgive your brother. Do we trust that the Lord gives and the Lord takes away? Blessed be the name of the Lord. When we pray, thy will be done, do we really mean, even if I can't understand it, even if it really hurts me right now, help me to have the faith and trust that your will is perfect, and my pain will pass, and I will see the Lord in my body. That same Jesus who rebukes also comforts. When he left Simon and Cleopas and Emmaus, they ran to Jerusalem, to the locked upper room. And he found them again in that locked upper room with the apostles. You may remember our text from last week. I'm sure that Simon and Cleopas remembered Christ's greeting in the upper room much more heavily imprinted upon them than the rebuke on the road to Emmaus. You may remember those words from last week that Simon and Cleopas heard as they gathered with the 10 apostles. Peace be with you. Do not disbelieve, but believe. And that same peace he gives to you. And may that peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. At this time, we take up our offering as we sing hymn number 644, The Church's One Foundation. Let us pray for the whole Church of God in Jesus Christ and for all people according to their needs. O Father of the risen Christ, in your Son's appearance to the Emmaus disciples, he expounded the Scriptures and revealed himself in the breaking of the bread. Grant us grace that we too may receive him as our Savior through his word and rejoice to receive him as the bread of life for the salvation of our souls. By the word and sacraments, renew our piety this Eastertide, that we may grow in the grace and knowledge of our Savior. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord of all, your Spirit opens the Holy Scriptures to the hearts of your people. Enlighten this congregation and its school by the resurrection light that never fades, that our hearts may burn in faith toward you. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord God, you have poured out your Spirit upon us, that we might believe your truth and raise our sons and daughters in it. Bless all parents, that they may faithfully catechize their children in your word. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Almighty God, stifle the powers of darkness and end the reign of war violence, and terror. Give leaders who will seek peace and work for the common good. Instill in them a love of righteousness and guide them in the pursuit of justice for all. Guide Joseph, our president, the Congress of the United States, Jared, our governor, all state and local officials, all medical and emergency workers, and all members of the armed forces who protect us, especially Chris, Rebecca, and Kaylin. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God of compassion, those who suffer cry to you. Hear them and answer them with grace sufficient for all their needs. Heal the sick according to your will. Comfort the wounded and give your peace to the dying. We especially pray for Bob, Tom, Frankie, Emilio, Nathan, the family of Armin Stolp, the family of Kristen Jones Peasley, Brooklyn, Carolyn, Mona, Marcella, Betty, Sandy, Betty, Sonny, Frank, Ella, Greg, Chris, Don, and all those we remember in our hearts. You are our eternal health and strength for this life and eternal life. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. O Lord, have mercy on us when we are foolish and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken about your Son. Pour out your Spirit on us through the preaching of the gospel, that the scriptures might be opened to us. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Blessed be the Lord. Thanks be to God. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. You may be seated as we sing our closing hymn, number 918, Guide Me, O Thou Great Redeemer. Thank you for joining us this morning, here in person and for those on the radio. I kind of missed at the beginning introducing myself. My apologies. My name is Vicar Bill Beck. I'm here from Rock of Ages in Colorado Springs, just a little bit north of here. Pastor Cody is off on family matters this week, and he'll be back next week. I'm sure anxious to join you. In terms of announcements, I do see May 10th is a celebration and appreciation for our school families and teachers at the brewery. And May 13th is Ladies' Tea. Any other announcements from the congregation? Yes, ma'am.
Okay. This will only take a minute. I was able to go to the LWML workshop yesterday, and we had a lady. They are giving a presentation on our hymnal and some of the hymns in it. And I don't know if you're like me, maybe you know this, but I usually come in, grab my hymnal, and go to find the hymn. And I don't look at the front. But if you look at the front of your hymnal, there's a cross there. But have you seen embossed around it, if you look, there are 8 squares. And then on this side, if you hold it a little different, you will see embossed a Bible, a shell, and a cup. And then on the back side, it has the hand of God, the cross, and the dove. And if you want to find out more about it, you go to page 9 and explain this. And I thought it was interesting because I never looked at that. And you only see it if you kind of turn it a little bit.
That is fascinating. The elements of our worship, we skim right by.
Yeah.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
As far as the ladies' tea on Saturday, May 13th, if you're interested in hosting a tea table, please talk to me. I have information as to how to go about that. Should be a fun time. So just let me know if you're interested.
Anything else? All right. Thanks again for joining us this morning. The Lord bless you and keep you. May you have a blessed week. Thank you.
And you've been listening to Pastor Jason Cody live from Trinity Lutheran Church in Alamosa. Thank you for listening. Trinity Lutheran Church is located at 52 El Rio Drive in Alamosa, Colorado, with worship services every Sunday beginning at 10 a.m. Please join us in person or listen in right here on KSPK-FM. For more information, you may call the church office at 719-589-4611 or visit our website at www.tlcalamosa.net or on Facebook by searching for Trinity Lutheran Church Alamosa. And tune in again next Sunday at 10 a.m. right here on KSPK-FM.
Here comes another KSPK Instant Request.
Instant Request
on Southern Colorado's Best Country.
Best Country.
KSPK.